tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Wash away your worries with Anabe. Anabe is the only machine washable sofa inside and out where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slip covers made with performance fabric. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Shop washablesofas.com for early Black Friday savings, up to 60% off site-wide, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply. There's nothing like sinking into luxury. Anabe sofas combine ultimate comfort and design at an affordable price. Anabe has designed the only fully machine washable sofa from top to bottom. The stain-resistant performance fabric slipcovers and cloud-like frame duvet can go straight into your wash. Perfect for anyone with kids, pets, or anyone who loves an easy-to-clean, spotless sofa. With a modular design and changeable slipcovers, you can customize your sofa to fit any space and style. Whether you need a single chair, love seat, or a luxuriously large sectional, Anabe has you covered. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your home. Sofas start at just $699. And right now, get early access to Black Friday savings, up to 60% off store-wide with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Add a little to your life. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Everybody, welcome to On Screen Live. My name is Andrew Jupin, and this is the We Hate Movies, Hollywood recap show, movie recap show, movie chat show, whatever you want to call it. Big day today. We got to get into a lot of stuff, but it's a big, big day because you guessed it, folks, although you definitely did not. It is my beautiful wife, Chelsea's birthday today. Happy birthday, Chelsea. I'm in here doing this, and then we're going to go get Chinese food. All right, folks, here it is. We're going to bring in two dudes who love watching movies just as much as I do. We have Steven Sadak.
Hey, happy birthday, Chelsea. Quick question, Andrew.
Yeah. Yes.
Is your tag, are you still hungover, or is that just a leftover from last week?
No, this is a new hangover.
Okay, got
this
it.
A new
got
hangover.
It.
So what happened was, I was left alone for the entire weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so yesterday, I was like, you know, that's a great idea. Let's drink three margaritas within like this span of like 2 hours. Yeah, dumb as shit. So anyways, we'll bring in another dude who definitely doesn't do dumb shit like that to give himself bad hangovers. You know him, you love him. Mr. Eric Siska.
I'm getting back into books, fellas. I want to run this scenario by you. It's in this book.
Mm-hmm. What is that book, Eric?
Well, it's Jim Belushi's Real Men. Now it says, according to Jim, it used to be Real Men Don't Apologize.
We changed that a little bit.
Multiple choice question here. You see a sexy woman across the bar, and she sees you. Do you A, challenge her to darts, pool, or whatever bar game you have mastered? The stakes are the winner gets a blowjob.
Oh my God.
Do you B, look away quickly before she sees you're interested, tell your buddies that this chick is giving you the eye, and keep finding excuses not to talk to her until she leaves? Or C, yell at her to stand up on the bar so that you could see how big her ass is before you walk all the way over there? Or D,
way over there, by the way.
Or D, send her a drink, walk over and introduce yourself, and trust your charm and personality to get you somewhere. Now, if you are Antonio Banderas, D will work.
Yep.
But I like A.
the games you have mastered, so you're going to beat her, and then she's going to give you a blowjob.
Because you're doing what you would normally do, and if she agrees to blow you, if you beat her at pool, so then you two probably will get along pretty well.
So, Eric, Jim Belushi's advice here is you see a lady, you spy a lady from afar at the bar, right? Never met her before in your life.
Sure.
And you walk up to her and your opener is, let's play pool. And if I beat you, you have to suck my cock.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about. This is the advice that this dude has given out.
Yes.
Also, similarly, what's the opposite? What if she wins? I mean, I know she won't because she's a woman. Right. But what if she were to climb that mountain and beat you at pool, Eric? Do you have to give her a blowjob? How does that work?
I don't know. I haven't gotten to the oral sex chapters yet. I don't know what he's totally willing to do. And hopefully that would be, you know, Chowtown or something.
I imagine, at least based on this evidence, Jim Belushi believes that the best blowjobs are the ones given under duress. The begrudging blowjob. I have to.
Hostage situation.
The best blowjobs are the ones we had along the way.
Just had to make sure that we're completely demonetized this week.
Absolutely. Get that out of here. Get it out of here.
We don't need it.
No. Hey, but speaking of monetizing shit, just a quick reminder, folks, before we get in to one, a massive tour update, but two, talking about John Wick. Before we get into all that stuff and more, we just want to go back through, remind y'all, we are going on tour starting pretty soon, and just getting it out there again, 5/18, we're going to be in San Francisco at Cobb's Comedy Club talking about the great Star Trek IV: The Voyage Home. Going to be fun as fuck there.
Now, do we have to travel back in time to get to do that show? Or
show is in 1968.
Got it.
Hope you can make it.
Oh, my. And then we don't have to travel too far back in time for this one because it's Twins in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He is just leaning on him, man.
I've always wondered about this. Like, is he like on a string of some kind, you know? Like the Michael Jackson video?
They have the hook from the Apollo on him. And they green screened it out.
I like the idea that it's wire foo is what's making this happen.
Well, it's kind of a legendary poster.
It is.
I've always wondered about that. That's on 5/22. 6/15, we're going to be in the beautiful town of New Brunswick, New Jersey, playing a show at the State Theater, New Jersey, talking the Birdcage. It's a WLM recording.
Absolutely.
That's going to be a ton of fucking fun.
I can't wait to rewatch that movie. I can't wait to do that show.
That's right. I cannot wait to be at that event. The other ones too.
First show in my adopted new home state of New Jersey. How about
that? Yeah, there we go.
Been here 12 years now, which is kind of something.
We finally got around to it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Now, the big new update, folks. Big new update. A, like, I don't know, let's say like 80-foot high update. We have a new show just listed here. We're revealing this right now, if you can even believe it. News, breaking news. 4/20, the high holiday.
Now you guys can celebrate with us.
Yeah, I'll try. we will be in the bowels of the internet, folks, because that's right, another virtual live show where we're talking all about Peter Jackson's King Motherfucking Kong. Ooh. Look at this awesome art by Philippe. Fucking great. As always, we've been sitting on this art for a really long time. I'm just super stoked we can finally show people, tell people, all of that good stuff.
We sat on this for so long. When I saw this come up again in our group chat, I was like, oh, are we reusing old art now? Like, I thought that we had like done this for something else. And I was like, no.
Oh, no.
I am so excited for this. And tickets are on. I think there's pre-sale happening now, right?
Pre-sale is happening right now at moment.co/wehatemovies, where you go for all our virtual live stuff now. It's for the next 2 days. There is a pre-sale. They kick off a couple of bucks there if you get in under the gun. Day of the show and elsewhere, it gets more expensive. And this does have the add-on package, folks. We'll be doing another Q&A hangout. Those get ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a ton of fun. We love doing these virtual live shows. So we know, you know, obviously, you know, we're not fucking Dead and Company, man. We don't make 50 stops a year. A lot of folks can't make it out to the shows where we're in our beautiful flesh. So we take our flesh and put it into the internet for you.
And just a real quick FYI, because I'm seeing a little diversion in the chat there. Like, we're split. I think this is a wee question mark movies. I haven't seen this movie in like at least 20 some odd years.
Yeah.
I remember really liking it at the time. I'm going to just find out how it shows holds up the night before, and we'll put the middle letter in on the episode.
You know, how does that sound? I think I actually have never seen it, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it just.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited, though, because this is part of a larger monkey theme we're doing. We are going ape for April. So this is a nice, big, fat, fucking bonus ape. And of course, the biggest, fucking, fattest bonus ape is King Kong.
Yes.
So we had That's to right. do it.
Yeah, I'm with you, Steve. I could not tell you the last time I saw this movie. Mm. I was ape for King Kong 2005 when it came out. I fucking loved it. Saw it in the theaters, had it on, I think it was just DVD. I don't think I ever made the jump to Blu-ray. But I remember that DVD being, because it's like all Peter Jackson shit. It was like the extras were out of control.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like,
I was obsessed with how they made the movie. You know, but at the same time, yeah, I'll make fun of a fucking ape sliding on ice, folks. Like, it's okay to play both sides of the fucking ball, you know.
Exactly.
So we will see. But yes, moment.co/WeHateMovies. April 20th. It's technically, you know, before the rest of these other tour dates, folks. So that's pretty cool. Not technically at all. It literally is, Andrew.
It literally is. It's a
kickoff. But you have some more tequila, you fucking loser.
And obviously, you know, we can't wait to see you in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and virtually.
And New Jersey as well.
Joycey.
And New Jersey. I keep forgetting. Yes, yes.
That's right.
Did they give you a sash for your 10-year mark at all?
Yes.
Or 12-year mark, rather? 12-year.
I'm the new mayor of New Jersey.
Nice.
Even though it's a state,
I'm the mayor of this. I'm the mayor of a whole state.
That's oh, man. You could do like anything then, right? Public executions, round of posse.
Oh, all that and more. So yeah, folks, that's all the tour stuff here. So let's get down to it. We got a lot to cover today, including, of course, running the box office numbers. This is Highest Gross. All right. Now, before we get into the top five, there was a couple things in limited release that I just wanted to chat about real quickly here. The first one up, I have no intention of seeing this. The new Zach Braff movie.
Wow.
A Good Person with his ex-girlfriend, Florence Pugh, and Morgan Freeman.
I misread the show doc that we have for this, and I saw this at the bottom of it. I was like, this movie made money? And no. Okay, the answer is no. All right, that's good to know.
Yeah, this was, you know, it was a limited-ish release here from United Artists. It was on only 530 screens, so you know, $840,000, 500 plus. I mean, you know, it's all right. It ain't great.
Do you think Morgan Freeman was devastated when they broke up? Do you think he was like, oh no, those two are so perfect together. I can't believe it. I just can't believe it.
And on top of them being so perfect for one another, of course, this now threatens the release of my new movie, A Good Person.
They he probably broke up on set in front of Morgan Freeman. Oh, no. Oh, no. Don't show me that.
Mommy and Daddy are fighting. I can't stand it.
Florence Pugh just woke up one morning and was like, oh, fuck, I'm dating who?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that'll, you know, be fucking streaming near you real soon. And the other one, just to bring up, from our good friends at IFC. It's the new Stephen Frears movie, The Lost King. You know, Stephen Frears, I haven't seen all his stuff. You know, some of the stuff I do really like, including Philomena, which they advertise on the poster here. But this is Sally Hawkins and Steve Coogan.
Gotcha.
That is really prominent placement of that other movie's title on that poster. Yeah, like they're trying to trick you in or something?
Well, Philomena 2.
It's to
say, more Philomena.
I mean, it's to say, like, hey, this is from the director of Philomena, and if you like that one, you might like this one. It's about
You want me to Philomena?
No, oh, Jesus Christ. Right? She, no, that's not what that movie's about.
But it's what this is about.
Oh, yeah. That's about filling holes, and then, Sally Hawkins plays, like, an historian who's something Richard III, man. I don't know. Sure.
I mean, it's one of Stephen Frears' King movies. You know, in his crown
the royalty movies.
The royalty box set that is going to come out. It's going to be this fucking big.
Precisely. Precisely. So, you know, check those out if you're around. I'm sure Lost King's got a really small window. Might have even been day and date. IFC loves doing day and date.
And, you know, they could have lost it, folks. So it might not even be coming to a screen near you.
That's right. We lost the Lost King. All right. So now break into the top five. Not a ton of surprises here. We'll start off. Boom. Dino Town.
Nice.
65, still in it. And I'll just put it out there right now. Everything kind of just like bopped down one from last week.
Yeah.
With John Wick coming in. So that means, if you remember from last week, bye-bye Ant-Man in the top five of the box office. Yeah. Not even a fucking month in theaters. Good God. No. Sony week three of this guy, 3.2 million. It's yet to open in some large foreign markets, like I believe Japan, South Korea, and China. A lot of movie going public there. I don't know how they're going to feel about dino action, but
I bet they like it better than us. What a terrible title, too.
Yeah, I mean, it still continues to be a terrible
title. It's in 2 years, it's just going to be that Adam Driver dino movie. That's it.
Yeah.
You'll have no idea how to get to that title.
You know what I was thinking about, actually? Remember that the Tom Cruise movie, Live, Die, Repeat, and like it came out as something else?
Edge of Tomorrow?
Yeah, yes, I think that's right. And so, like, they... when it came out on home video or something, they really tried to like change it and be like, no, this is what we originally wanted to call it before like studio interference. Mm-hmm. This has to go the opposite. This is like, when it comes out on DVD, you got to call it Dinomania. Adam Driver in Dinomania. Get 65 out of there and just make people forget that that's the fucking original title because it's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life moves so fast. When do you have time to reflect? You're always jumping from one hurdle to the next, trying to make ends meet, and ideally trying to stay on top of everything. When's the last time you learned something new about yourself? When was the last time you checked in with yourself? I've been going to therapy for almost a decade, and I really think it's the best place to connect with yourself and learn about yourself while working through it with a trained professional. So that's why I'm thrilled we're sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to meet your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and the good thing is you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/WHM today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, .com/WHM. BetterHelp.com/WHM.
This week's episode is brought to you by Tushy. Now, listeners, spring has awoken, and that means it's time to clean. Sure, you should take a look at your closet that's doubling as an ant colony, and maybe take a look at what that pulsating thing underneath your couch is. You know what else needs a fresh spring cleaning? That's right, I'm talking about your Xander Berkeley. Every day, people use rolls of wasteful toilet paper to wipe their Xander Berkeleys. No more, I say. It's time for everyone to switch to the sustainable Hello Tushy Bidet, which gets your Xander Berkeley twice as sparkly clean while simultaneously cleaning up your impact on the planet. Now, folks, Tushy was nice enough to send me one of their bidets, and while my learned and cultured wife has long preferred cleaning her Xander Berkeley with a bidet, I am a convert to the experience. I was hesitant to give up my handy roll of toilet paper, but I have to admit that it barely took 24 hours of cleaning my Xander Berkeley with the Hello Tushy bidet to make me set fire to my shed full of emergency toilet paper. It cleans better, and it allows you to be environmentally responsible literally while you're going to the bathroom. The Hello Tushy Bidet cleans your Xander Berkeley better than wiping while also preventing poo particles from spreading to your hand and from there onto everything you touch. The bidet attaches to your existing toilet and requires no electricity or plumbing to install. It cuts toilet paper use by 80% and pays for itself within a few months. And don't forget, the Hello Tushy Bidet attachment comes with a 60-day risk-free guarantee and a 12-month warranty. There's no reason not to give it a try and give your Xander Berkeley a real upgrade. With over 100,000 five-star reviews, see why millions of people already love Hello Tushy and be a part of taking care of business the cleaner way. Go to HelloTushy.com/WHM and use promo code WHM to get 10% off plus free shipping on your first bidet order. That's HelloTushy.com/WHM for 10% off. Your Xander Berkeley will thank you.
In fourth, a movie that people were talking about over the weekend for all the wrong reasons, Creed 3.
Yeah. Speaking of Ant-Man, I feel like we might have a new variant of Kang coming up that's even more dangerous than the previous Kang and has no credible assault allegations behind it as well. Mm. I think that might be where we might go with that. Mm. Nobody knows what that story is. It's fucked up.
It's fucked up and it's none of my fucking business, man. Yep. I was looking at a bunch of shit over the weekend. People devoting like hours of their time to fighting about it and whatever. And it's like,
we'll
it's
see
a
what
bad
happens.
Situation, man. Be- and that's your that should be your opinion on it. Is it's a bad situation and it's got nothing to do with you.
Another bad situation with Creed 3. Apparently it's already coming out to digital like in a week or,
Oh, really?
Or the 31st. And it's just like, you're still number three in the box office. What are you shooting yourself in the fucking leg for?
Totally. To like, you scrap in another, like, you know, almost $8.5 million, especially in the face of a massive movie that came out this weekend. Like, yeah, you should have closed that window. I mean, that's the thing is, like, I don't know how often you can readjust those negotiations. So it's like, if you say the window is X and then it goes streaming, I don't know if you can then be like, oh, fuck, it's doing really well. Can we keep it out? Because then like the streaming people are like, hey man, we were looking to make our money at this date. So I don't particularly know the ins and outs and what have yous of all of that, but it just seems like they should have bet a little higher on this movie. Speaking of movies you fucking bet high on, man, Scream 6. Now at number three, still rocking and rolling here at, what were we doing? Week three with $8.5 million.
Wow, look at that. Two We Hate Movies posters in your production. You get $8 million week three.
Yes.
That's the guarantee. Ooh.
A little plug, by the way, regarding this movie. I watched the Dead Meat podcast that they did on it, like the video podcast, and they had Radio Silence on.
Oh, cool.
Fucking entertaining as all get out. And those three dudes are like, they're the real deal. They're totally charming. You can tell that they fucking like believe in the shit that they're making. Real smart convo, really cool shit. A lot of like behind the scenes about like making the movie or whatever. And yes, the cameo for our poster is mentioned.
Let me pat myself on the back.
Yeah. Right there. Oh, you're welcome, Paramount. Ooh. dude. So check this out. Here we go. Now, speaking of internet controversy,
Can't watch that video. I don't know what that video is.
Oh, it's like him
crying in it. I don't know what's going on.
I was supposed to be with Hawkman.
I saw like a little bit of it and like he's emotional ish, but then there's also like, I just want to talk about the truth and we got to follow the truth. I was like, you're a fucking QAnon person, aren't you? That's how fucking twisted your mind is, Shazam.
He is going to be in a Hunter Biden laptop movie. In the Hunter Biden laptop universe of films, he will definitely be making a quick stop there. And it sucks. I mean, like, I don't know, dude. I've never liked that guy particularly. I just wasn't a Chuck fan. I never had anything personally against him, but like that
up Chuck
up exactly. But I just
vomit.
That show was what he's like a geek squad guy who then is recruited to be a spy by a sexy lady or something.
That's exactly correct.
Sounds and right. It's
capital S, capital L, sexy lady.
Ooh, was that USA original programming?
No, I think that was on network television. It might have been NBC.
Oh shit, because that reeks of USA original programming. Anyway, look at this shit. $9.7 million in your second week. That represents a very nice number to drop here. 69% fall from your first week, which is not as bad as Ant-Man, but only by a little bit.
Yep.
just, you know, it makes me wonder, folks, are people getting tired of these fucking slapped together garbage superhero movies?
It's curious where we're going to go with these. It's going to be interesting to see. They also, there's a whole bunch of reasons that other lady from Marvel got fired and she's suing back because she was part of Argentina in 1985. But also, It's like, is she being scapegoated for the visual effects stuff? Like, a ton of stuff's going on there. That's interesting. I just don't know where we're going with all this stuff because all of this is slapdash and nobody cares. And it's where we're talking about Shazam 2 here. Like, nobody is getting up for Shazam 2. I did, but I was bored.
Well, I think where we're going is, I mean, look what's surrounding it. John Wick, Unstoppable, Scream 6, yes. Creed 3. Like, I feel like we are kind of waning on the superhero phenomena.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, frankly, you just mentioned it, Eric, but, you know, the number one movie in the fucking world right now is a movie that they took their time making. John Wick 4, I mean, you know, they didn't just crank out another one right away, you know, and you can tell, I mean, we'll talk about it when we talk about the movie a little bit more at length, but like, one thing is not like the other. They are made completely differently. They're made for different fucking reasons.
Yeah. So
they share reasons for being made.
Of course, yeah.
Of course, but they also share different reasons for being made. But Jesus Christ, week one, $73.5 million. Check this shit out. Biggest R-rated opening since the pandemic.
Nice.
32% of this gross came from PLF screens, large format screens. So like your Dolby, whatever. Basically any of your high-end shit that's not an IMAX. So like those Dolby experiences, Regal, RPX screens, all that shit. So people were like, not only do I want to see this movie, I want to see it in some of the best ways possible, because it also had, oh, what's the number here? There was another $8 million of this gross that was purely just IMAX sets. Hmm. So like, people were really going out to the movies for John Wick 4.
Someone in the chat asks if they can go just see John Wick 4 and skip 2 and 3, which they haven't seen. And I say yes. I didn't rewatch 2 and 3 on my rewatch. I just watched 1 and this one. And this one is not as... You don't have to know like the fucking currency system of the hitman as much.
Yep. That's good.
So you could absolutely skip 2 and 3.
You would be totally fine. All you need to know is like he's looking to take down the High Table, which is, you know, I don't even know if they really mentioned the High Table in the first movie. It's like the organization that, you know, organizes all.
You got to watch when you're making reservations now, because sometimes it'll be like, oh, we have a table for, but it's a high top table. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, I don't want to sit at a high top table. I want a real table. God damn it.
The whole thing is about just a restaurant inconvenience.
I see. Yeah.
Well, Jonathan, look at this. First, your wife dies and then your dog is murdered and then they fucked up your car and now a bad seat at a restaurant, Jonathan.
Anything sets him off, dude.
Anything, dude. I'm thinking I'm going to kill the guy who runs OpenTable.com. Oh, excuse me. Does your ticket at this movie theater say K11? No, mine does, because you're in my seat. So that's right. I guess I'm back again.
I like where this is all going.
That's fucking Eric Wick, chapter one.
Oh, goddamn. Don't get me started. Actually, you know, I saw a movie. Not only did I see John Wick this week in a theater that didn't have assigned seats. What a lucky day for me. Mm. But the other movie I saw this week was Full River Red, and people took my assigned seats. And you know what I did? I acted like a fucking adult, and I sat in the other area that no one was in.
Yeah,
I didn't make a scene about it. I didn't act entitled. I was just like, hey, you know what? This is the one rare occasion that I got to the movie, like right when the trailers were almost over. It's on me.
That happened to me. And I think I even told the story, but we wound up moving 2 to 3 times because we were like, oh, well, fine. This lady's got our seats. I'm not going to make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
She also seemed like she was definitely not going to move no matter what. So we just moved somewhere else. And then someone's like, ooh, that's our seat. We're like, okay, we'll move somewhere else. Ooh, that's also our seat. And I'm like, oh, God damn it.
Jesus.
We ended up sitting in the front row. It's kind of a
see, that's the thing is one person can now make that domino effect and destroy the whole system.
It's true.
That's why you shouldn't be a fucking asshole about it at all and sit where you're supposed to. Anyway, we'll get to the discussion of some of these movies in a minute, but there's some new stuff that dropped coming attraction-wise that we should be keeping our eyeballs on. And this segment we have called Trailer Segment. All right. So the first one out the gate, we got two here to talk about. First one is the new one from Nicole Hall of Center, You Hurt My Feelings. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who has worked with her before. So guys, we have the trailer here ready to rat and roll. Now, for you folks at home, if you didn't know, we tried to do a big, like a big trailer extravaganza one day. And well, YouTube didn't like that too much. Warner Brothers didn't like that too much because we played their Flash trailer and we got kicked off the air. So now we just sync up the trailers in our home studios and just sort of react to them. So if y'all are curious, it's the A24 channel on YouTube. You Hurt My Feelings is the trailer. Dude, you guys synced up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm ready to go.
All right, we'll start this sucker in 3, 2, 1, go.
Walking with some pizza? Is that what that? Oh, no, donuts.
Donuts.
Got it wrong.
Ooh, Doug Moe, improv legend, Doug Moe. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, cool to see him in a movie. Yeah,
I also, this coming out in May, this has got November written all over it, folks. I want to have a coat on when I see this film.
Yeah. Yes. Yep, you're totally fucking right, Steve.
They're jacket movies. We need to understand this is a society.
You want to have soup after you watch this film. You don't want to, you know, this is not a summer that I'm going to go to like a beach party.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And it makes me wonder like what else A24 has coming down the line for like end of year.
But this cast is great. We just
David Cross and
the guy from Succession's in this as well.
Oh yeah, the dude who plays Stewie. Yeah. It is funny to cast them as like a bickering married couple. I think that's great.
I love Nicole Hall Center. I think Can You Ever Forgive Me is one of my favorite movies of the last like 20 years. Like again, but I need my fucking scarf on, baby.
Yeah. And she wrote that, Steve. Is that right?
Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say. Oh, good Jenny Lewis tune here in the trailer, too. Oh, and this is Michaela Watkins, who was great on SNL, and they fired her for being, quote, too old.
That's cool.
That's great. That's just fucking great.
Isn't Colin Jost 60?
It's kind of a great, like, this could also be, like, obviously, like, it's a more serious, like, rom-com-ish relationship dramedy. This could also be the plot of a Seinfeld episode, speaking of Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Like, someone overhears someone in the bookstore saying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I'm just, this is entirely my alley of movies that I want to see, though, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. The movie that she's in, that Hollow Center did with her and Gandolfini,
yes.
Enough Said, that's a good one.
It's a great movie that I'll never watch again because of the Gandolfini.
Oh yeah, because he's too beautiful of a soul in that movie. Like I can't, it just would hurt too much. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus is just obviously so fucking great.
And Tobias Menzies having a big moment there, which is kind of cool. I always loved him on Rome. Rome heads out there.
Sure, yeah.
Played Brutus.
So yeah, this is out wide from A24 and 526. I agree with you, Steve. It should be a November thing. Purely for the setting. It's not like, I don't think it's very much related to like award stuff because I mean, the best picture winner of this past year was released in like March. So also that should be totally out the window. You know, movies don't do that a lot. It was like that. Grand Budapest was another one that was like a March or April release that wound up going all the way to the Oscars. So who the fuck knows? I mean, who cares about the Oscars anyway? But you're right. I should be able to go out to Mendy's and get a fucking bowl of soup after I see this movie. Now, the other movie, I wanted us to get eyes on this trailer because I saw a trailer for it, this very one, as a matter of fact, before John Wick 4, and I was laughing my fucking ass off.
Watching this live in real time.
It's a new movie from Tim Story. It's called We Can't All Die First.
Is that what it's called? Because the trailer says something different here.
This is the blackening I've got here.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You the blackening. Yes. Why did I say you can't? Oh, because I've
read
the tagline. You know, and so this is.
And it's bigger than the title. This is
another. Yeah, that's what confused me because I just looked. Yes, the movie. Okay, correction. Good call. It's called The Blackening. The tagline, which is about 100-point font bigger than the fucking title.
Yes, it is.
The tagline is We Can't All Die.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised it doesn't say Philomena on there.
Well, actually, I mean, it's like Tim Story, man. You can be like, hey, the dude that directed all those huge barbershop movies. And
oh, and those Fantastic Four movies everybody loved. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Dude, I have seen some like whispers of people reevaluating those movies. Absolutely not human society.
Not having
it. Absolutely not. Yes, but the blackening is wide on 616. It looks funny as fuck here. Oh, I got to get the trailer pulled up. Pardon me.
I'll be wide on 616 as well. Gaining some weight, you know.
Yeah.
Not good.
So I will just say, because I have watched this file here on YouTube, we are going to get a trailer for the trailer. So here we go. 3, 2, 1, go.
Oh, yeah, this trailer for the trailer, I just can't. I don't care for
it. Like, I know it's the trailer. I fucking clicked on it.
Yeah.
So fucking infuriating.
Yeah, we're not talking about the Fantastic Four this time around.
Absolutely not. Oh, God, this is so funny.
Unless it's like racist Jumanji, I like this.
It
possibly
is like
more racist Jumanji, I guess I would say.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Slightly more, maybe. Also, kind of a Saw thing going on here.
Yeah, totally. Oh man, this the killer kind of looks like the Goombas in the Super Mario movie.
I can't get a good shot of him. Yeah, it's a little.
Yes, definitely.
S&M-esque kind of mask.
Yes, it's like a lizardy S&M mask.
Gotcha.
You ever seen any of those in your adventures, Steve?
No, in my adventures.
Yeah, you know your adventures.
Yeah,
you know,
when you started me.
When you're doing it.
This fucking board game, man.
Well, it looks fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I was delighted by that, dude. I had no idea this movie was getting made, and I just... The trailer, actually, in the theater, I believe, was Red Band. There was some language that got... cut out of the one we just watched here, I think, but very funny shit. I'm looking forward to this quite a bit. 616 from Lionsgate. Lionsgate having an interesting year, man, because of course they also had John Wick 4, which we can get to right now. So I know I saw it, and Eric, you saw it. Steve, did you get a chance to see it?
I did not. Not for any, just got a little busy this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I liked it way more than I expected because I was not as big on 2 and 3 because they're dealing with like Hitman Mazda dealerships and how the fucking economy of the hitmen work, and it was just convoluted to me. But this new one I thought was pretty solid. There was only really one thing you had to wrap your head around, which is, yeah, there's bulletproof suits now, and that just enables us to do longer action scenes, so that's fine.
Yeah, the bulletproof suits, I believe, are introduced in previous movies, but this is like, now they're really popular in this world. I feel like it was like a pilot program for some of the hitmen, but like, because there's some line about he gets some new suit made, I think in 3 or 2, and it's like blah 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 bulletproof fabric. But this is like, we are using it a lot. And like, if I do have to weigh a criticism on this movie, it's a little too Deus Ex fucking suit jacket. You know, they basically, because like he holds up, you know, it's kind of like this, Steve. So he's like using it as a bulletproof vest a lot in the movie. Yeah. They all are. It's not just John Wick.
Yeah.
Well, so I mean, it allows you to kind of like have basically like sword fights, but you're shooting people.
Actually, I put the code in before I came into this area. So and I don't take damage. I don't take damage when I get shot. It's in God mode. God damn it.
But yeah, you know, Larry Fishburne, fucking great. Not in it a ton, but Ian McShane, boosted role. They're giving him a lot more to do, which is nice.
Ooh. Yeah, and you know, it's a long movie, but I didn't really feel the runtime. I thought it really was well-paced, all things considered.
I wasn't thinking about the runtime. I didn't even get up to go to the bathroom. I was actually kind of surprised. Saw it in a packed house on a Saturday morning. Not a lot of people getting up to go to the bathroom. Mm.
Well, you know, I did. and then I got another cocktail on my way back.
That rules, dude. Yeah, yeah. I was just at an AMC, no booze.
Anybody, how did Lance Reddick, the fallen God King, fare in this one?
Not a huge role.
No spoilers, but not a huge role. I mean, the fucking fights, man.
Good. I like seeing some arrows. I love a good arrow.
You know what's kind of funny, Eric, is I was reminded of our little John Wick commentary out now on Patreon, because when I was watching 4 and they start using the arrows, there's a mention you have in that commentary about like, if we went back in time to like prequel days, John Wick, like some ancestor of John Wick. I forget what the bit is, but you're like, oh, I guess they'd have to use arrows then or something. Boom, dude.
It'd be great.
The universe heard you. Here's the arrows. Mm-hmm. So totally awesome. We got to talk about him, man. Scott Adkins.
Yes.
Scott Adkins. Not a huge role, but a
heavy set German man.
He's so funny. It's so funny. The voice he's doing, really funny. And then he's also just doing amazing martial arts because he's an amazing martial artist. Totally fucking baller. Donnie Yen comes in here.
Yep.
As this character Kane, who's like another hitman friend of John Wick, Steve, and it's just great. I mean, it's kind of funny because wasn't he in Rogue One?
He is. Yes.
He plays a blind guy in that too.
Yes.
So this character Kane is also a blind guy, but like seeing him do like all the like fighting with his like sword stick and stuff, it fucking totally kicks ass. He has a lot of good scenes with Hiroyuki Sanada, who's also in the fucking movie. Folks at home, if you don't remember him, he's the dude who played a real life Scorpion in that Mortal Kombat movie.
Among many
other things. The dude's
real life Scorpion.
Well, you know, before the get over here days. But Donnie Yen and Hiroyuki Sanada have like scenes together. They fight each other, which is fucking awesome.
That's pretty cool.
You can kind of see in this movie how, and I mean, they're already doing it with the spinoff movie Ballerina that's coming out, but like you can see them in this making a really concerted effort to expand this universe, but it all feels expanded in a really interesting way. Like Shamir Anderson is another hitman in the movie, like a Mr. Nobody type character.
Yeah, like an Americana Western wear tracker kind of look, which is cool.
Yeah, which is, and he, I thought he was fucking great. And then, oh man, Steve, you're going to be so psyched for Clancy Brown, dude.
Ooh, ooh.
He plays a character called The Harbinger. Oh, fuck. I mean, it totally, totally rules.
I mean, just even Clancy Brown saying Harbinger would give me an erection. So there you go.
I'm the Harbinger.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then John Wick takes over France.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yes.
It was pretty sweet, man. We did a lot of shooting in Paris, and I was like recognizing places, including, this isn't a spoiler or anything, but there's an action sequence on the steps up to Sacré-Cœur, which Chelsea and I ascended those very steps. Doing it once almost killed us. John Wick's got to do it like 4 times in the movie for a hilarious, like Buster Keaton-esque reason. Yeah. I just got so tired watching this dude's poor legs pumping it up those stairs, man.
And quite an action set piece. The French put up more resistance against John Wick than Germany.
Hey-o!
There you go. You got to break the window with your blue card, dude.
I don't have the thing set up.
Oh, man. It's tough, you know, I don't want to spoil anything for folks, but yeah, a lot of great set pieces. You see a new Hitman Hotel in Osaka, Japan. Fucking gorgeous set design with all of that. It's just the craft of this. This is what I was kind of getting at. We were talking about like Shazam and whatnot, like the craft put into this movie. I'm not saying there aren't, you know, people that work hard on Marvel movies. Of course there are, but like these people who made this movie were given time by their fucking corporate overlords to actually make the movie.
And doing actual stunts that maybe are enhanced by CG, but it's not the other way around. You know what I mean?
Because when you're doing, you're making a movie, you're not making a franchise. And I mean, obviously it's a franchise, but like the idea is, is like, hey, let's get this one out and then we'll make another one and then we'll make another one and then we'll make another one, as opposed to like, here's my fucking power. It's all about the PowerPoint now. It's, you know what I mean? Like it's not, it doesn't matter what the movie is, it's the PowerPoint that has all the movies on it. So who cares if you have enough time to make all those movies? I don't give a shit. Those all have to happen so that the PowerPoint is true.
Yep, exactly. So it turns out we didn't have to lie to all the fucking nerds at Comic-Con and then they're going to yell at us on the internet. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, you can just feel that this, and you know, you fucking listen to interviews with, you know, Stahelski and Keanu himself and the stunt team and everything. Like, they don't make these movies unless they have the story, they really want to do it, and they can take the time to do it right. And I'm sorry, it just fucking pays off.
Makes like, a huge difference.
Yeah, it's just a better made movie than probably all of those Marvel movies.
Well, you never have to rush a sequel. Like, people are going to remember what John Wick was. People are going to remember, maybe not Shazam, but, you know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, people will remember. And that's the thing, right? You know, things come up, life happens, shit happens. And, you know, maybe it's not the best idea in the world to have a huge PowerPoint presentation that's like, hey, this one person's going to be in all of our movies in the next 10 years. You know what I mean? Like,
you do know what I know what you mean, dude. I know what you mean.
So let's just make one at a time. And like, even with this, you know, of course they get bombarded with, is he going to be a Chapter 5? And it's like, well, there's a Continental TV show that I learned is a prequel set in New York in the 1970s, which you bet your ass I will watch.
Can I say one thing about the John Wick stuff? I like John Wick 1. I like 4. I wasn't as crazy as 2 and 3. I think I feel like some of those lean too hard in on the world. And I think if you lean too hard in on the world, you are just making Kingsman now.
Yeah.
I can totally see that. I think what's interesting is like 2 and 3, there's a lot of energy spent on explaining that stuff, like explaining the world. And Eric, I would guess that's why 4 works for you better, because they're not explaining anything. You've seen those other movies and you know how all that shit works more or less. So, you know, when he gets into the whole, you know, thing with the Marquis de Grammont, you know, and that's like all of that stuff with these marquees, that's like the new sort of info that you get about this world, but it's not a ton. So all that other stuff, like the money and everything, it's present, but we're not explaining it.
4 almost feels like a classic action movie where it's like, yes, there's a flamboyant villain. I don't need to know how he does his laundry. I enjoy the villain for being the villain, you know?
Yeah, totally. So, you know, I feel like we could be on John Wick all fucking day here, but we do have some other stuff to get to. So I do want to blow through some other stuff really quickly, just some other things that we were quickly checking in on this week and over the weekend. Something that I really want to get on everybody's radar. I decided to dip back into the Vimmerverse on Friday. I checked out his Children of the Corn, man, that was made in 2020 and just finally put out. And I got to tell you, it's a seeing is believing. It is worth your time so hard. It's like 93 minutes of the most unhinged shit I've seen in a while.
So shall I just add it to the January schedule right now?
I think we would have a ball chatting about this movie. It would be a recommend for me. Like, it, you know,
wow.
Don't get it twisted, folks. We're only in March. Don't get it twisted. It's not a good movie, but it is. It's worth your time. You are talking just the most precocious, shit-eating kids, mm-hmm. killing adults hysterically. There's a fucking like bad CGI monster.
I like
terrible,
that.
Terrible explosions. It's yeah.
Are we instead of doing bullet time, we're doing scythe time? You know what I mean? Like
we are doing knife time.
I like knife time.
We're doing you see a child rip the eyeballs out of a man's skull while he's still alive. That's, so there's that.
That's great. I love
yeah, a lot of good stuff here. But yeah, so. It's a recommend, not all a good right. movie. It's a total recommend.
I'm in.
I think folks should check it out. And another thing really quickly, I only watched the first episode of it, but I was hooked. New Netflix show, The Night Agent. This is the dude who was in that fucking horrible Ron Howard Hillbilly movie.
Okay.
But this movie is he plays a dude. He's like a sort of disgraced FBI agent. Who winds up working this like night agent desk in the basement of the White House. And it's like one of those, like, I sit here and do nothing and the phone never rings. Mm. And it's like, uh-oh, episode one, the phone rings and it sets off this whole fucking world. And I have
he's got to go fill a coffee order.
Yes. Hang on. Sorry. There we go. I have to say, Netflix, you have a really interesting thriller here, man. You should have one-weeked it. Yeah. They just fucking dumped it all. And like, that's why I wanted to talk about it today.
Yeah.
Get people talking about it because like with fucking Netflix, like people just miss this shit. And like,
yep.
It's a good ass show. Hong Chow is on it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a deep cast. You got, what's his face? Of course. Robert Patrick is like a shitty fucking he's like the head of the FBI or whatever. Yeah,
he's crooked. I don't need to watch it. He's crooked. He's not on the right side of this one. He's not on the right side.
But anyway, so just wanted to give that a quick plug as well here. Now, Eric, you mentioned it already, but this week you saw the new Zhang Yimou.
That's right. I saw
Full Red River.
Yes, Full River Red.
Oh, River Red, excuse me.
It's a good movie. It's a sprawling kind of epic. It's about palace intrigue. It's got a very, very fun sense of humor. Kind of reminded me of Death of Stalin in some ways.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And very, it's long, but it's another one. I didn't really feel the runtime. I had a really good time with it. I know. Some people say yes, Chinese propaganda, and this poem is apparently a big thing that is in Chinese culture. I don't know enough about it to comment on it, but of course it's propaganda. So is fucking Top Gun. So is Quantumania. So is everything.
So yeah, Captain America might have some jingoistic themes.
That's
slightly.
The best. Is we get so much shit for like making fun of stuff like Captain America or Marvel in general, but then you know when we praise Top Gun or a Chinese film, it's like, oh my god, what are you doing?
Yeah,
it's like I don't know, put down the fucking soda and take a look around, man.
but it's
a good movie.
Yeah.
It's fun. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Packed screening, by the way.
Oh, wow.
And
oh,
really? My assigned seat, as I mentioned earlier, was taken, and I wasn't a baby about it. I just moved to another seat.
There you go, dude. So glowing review in the art market right now, Full River Red. I just love that Zhang Yimou's still fucking making movies, man. The dude's a legend.
Yes.
Now, Steve, you were fucking taking a one-way ticket to Stupid City this weekend.
I did.
You found, what's this little guy called?
It's called Repo Jake. Also packed theater on my couch with my two cats and my wife. We went to the bar. We came back. This had come across me on Instagram. Somebody was like, look at this cool VHS tape. And I was like, absolutely. And it's on Amazon. It's on Freevee, I think, with commercials. It's like 86 minutes. It is the dumbest movie. The movie just devolves. It's like kind of an okay idea where it's just big fat Dan Haggerty coming into LA, trying to be a repo agent, and stock car racing gets involved, and then so does pornography.
I like how he's trying to be a repo agent. This is his great goal.
Well, it's, you know, it's just as hard to break into the repo business as it is Hollywood, man. He's doing his best.
The first action scene where he meets his lady friend and someone steals her purse because now he's in Hollywood.
Sure.
people get thrown through windows 3 to 4. Like, it's like in the window, out the window, in the window. It's he repos a helicopter at one point, which is pretty great. Oh,
shit. So, someone wasn't making payments on their helicopter?
I think so. It was one of those Succession boys. I just want to be clear. It's not a good movie.
Yeah.
It's something to be watched at 1 a.m. or later. But you'll have fun with Repo Jake. And also, I'll just be talking about Repo. It's just a tremendous title. There should have been 4 Repo Jakes.
Yeah, it kind of sucks that Grizzly Adams didn't get another franchise here. Now, Steve, you also, this is kind of cool. Uh-huh. I'm very jealous of this. You saw Todd Browning's Dracula for the first time last night at Lincoln Center.
I did.
And there was some story here that we had to talk about.
Yeah, we saw it at 35 millimeter at the Walter Reed Theater. And the Walter Reed Theater can get a little... It's like Film Forum, but a little heightened because everyone's a little crazier for some reason.
Because it's close. Because it's on the Upper West Side. At least the downtown Grampies have to be tempered a little bit.
And you'll really get capital M movie maniacs that go to this theater. You know what I mean? Like really, really specific type of folks.
Yeah,
we're sitting in the back as we always are. It's a pretty crowded thing. It's, you know, it's 8 o'clock showing of this, you know, kind of a huge retro movie. Sitting next to us is this couple, and
young, old, what are we talking?
They're young. They're like probably 20, 21.
Okay.
And at some point the woman just turns around and is like, and this is like 40 minutes into this 86 minute movie. So halfway through,
sure.
She's like, could you not kick my seat? And he's like, could you stay off your damn phone? And it's like,
ooh.
So now this is happening. and like, hey, you can't do that to me. And he's like, you can't be on your phone, and it's a public movie. This is a public movie. This public movie. Twice.
Public movie. I'm kind of on his side already.
I get what he's saying here, man. So, you're not on your fucking living room couch, grandma.
So here's the thing. So like, that's 40 minutes in. About 15 minutes later, so 60-ish minutes into the movie, this guy gets up. I think he's just going to the bathroom. The guy of the couple. The girl was the one doing most of the yelling. The guy was just sort of sitting there. So I think he kind of got in a little bit of trouble. So he gets up. And 10 minutes after that, 70 minutes into an 86 minute movie, the ushers come in and they're behind me like, excuse me, we heard you were kicking seats. And the man said, and I swear to God, it's my favorite quote that I've ever heard. It's like, yes, I did. And I was right to. She was on her phone doing online shopping. And like, they're going...
Yes,
they're going back and forth, and I'm like, this, we're at the height of this film at this point. The movie is ending.
Yeah,
and the guy, even the usher, is like, listen, can you stop kicking the seat? There's only 4 minutes left of the movie. And I'm like, yeah, dude, what are you even here for? So here's what they leave. Yeah. The woman gets up and leaves in a huff because I think they wanted those two people to get kicked out. End of the story, twist ending. I was positive this guy who kicked the seat was in his 60s. I turn around. This dude is like 24 years old. And I'm like, wow, dude. So
That's awesome. Good for him.
Here's my three-tiered question. One,
okay.
I don't believe kicking the seat is ever warranted. I think you just got to do, if someone's on their phone, you got to do the loud, get off your phone, please. And that's going to embarrass everybody. And then it's going to, you know, kicking the shirt.
That's true.
Oh, by the way, the woman did yell out when the usher came in. That's assault, to which everyone was like, no, it's not. No, it's not.
Please don't fucking like exploit that word for this.
Exactly. So one, should you kick the seat? Two, and this goes to Andrew specifically.
Okay.
Is there a time when in the film, when you're looking at the runtime, that it's just not even worth to be the usher that comes in? Do you know what I mean? Like, we'll catch them on the way out kind of a scenario. Cause like, now you're ruining like the literal climax of the film.
That's the thing, right? Is you as the usher or the manager who is controlling the fleet of ushers or, you know,
whatever.
Managing them. You got to look at that runtime. You got to be like, who are those people? Oh, there's fucking 4 minutes left. Like, we will have this discussion on the way out. Because what they did right there was just make the experience worse for everyone around them, including you and Jen, whoever else is around there. Like, they fucked that up. You know what I mean? So, like, that's kind of on them.
But they did. They picked their seats, though. And you have to just, whatever you're dealt, you just have to deal with. If someone's on the phone or kicking, dude, you picked that seat.
Objection, Your Honor. Lincoln Center, no assigned seats.
Oh, so nice. So wait. So we could have just fucking moved.
They could have just fucking moved.
Was it packed?
It was a packed screening.
It was
how
busy,
could you move?
But not super packed. It was, you could have moved around.
You could move.
Like,
you could always.
Here's the thing, though. This is all we are missing the bigger picture here, folks. Is that this fucking battle axe was on her fucking phone shopping during a quiet ass short black and white motion.
But is that even rare anymore? Because I have people walking around with the flashlights on, doing the whole thing.
Flashlights
in the middle of the movie.
To find your seat is like. That's terrible, you know, because like you're late to the movie. You shouldn't be fucking let in.
20 minutes even Full River Red, 20 minutes in, it still fucking happened.
Thing is, you just got to do the quick, like, put it down, please. And then, because like,
you're right. That's the move.
It's kicking is like, it's a little too
close. Don't kick.
It's too aggressive.
It's not assault, but it's a little too aggressive because I mean, and also like, this guy might turn around and punch you right in the face, and he'd be kind of sort of right to. You know what I mean? You just don't want to let it escalate to that scenario. Everyone was wrong except for me in this situation, if you can believe
right,
it.
Right. So, I don't know. I feel like we could spend the rest of the afternoon really, you know, breaking this out. I will say, if you've noticed me like fumbling around here, it's because for whatever reason, my fucking laptop cord is not charging the laptop I run 1,000 fucking things on this computer, and I just got the little red light that I have no battery left, and I don't want the fucking stream to get cut off, because boy would that be terrible. So I will just unfortunately have to cut it here, but really quickly, folks, a big week here on the program. It already started yesterday. We released a Gleep Glossary episode all about R5D4. Special guest Ruben Oslin appears.
Huge fan of mine.
Yes.
Talked about me on Letterboxd, a video they did on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. And then Tuesday, Listener Request Month comes to an end with our 666th episode, if you can even believe it. We're talking about The Covenant, one of the stupidest fucking movies I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
So many people had to say yes to that bad boy. Holy fuck. And it's also, we're closing the month like we started with a Rennie Harlan movie. Thursday, the adventure continues on the Mandalorian half hour. We will see what little old Din Djarin gets up to. Maybe we'll be back on Coruscant with our scientist friends. Maybe they'll meet. Who knows?
maybe we'll go someplace. It'll be fun.
and then Friday, ending the month with The Nexus and ending Listener Request Month with the patron requested episode. We're talking about a really solid episode of DS9 and a really fun and silly episode of Voyager as well.
Yeah, that super fun. A lot of Jerry Ryan talk in the second half, which is a lot of...
Yep. She's fucking great. She absolutely. Great.
Yeah, positive Jerry Ryan talk. Positive.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, yes, we're on tour, whmpodcast.com for more tour info. But if you want those tickets to hear us talk about Peter Jackson's King Kong live on the internet on 420, folks, you're going to go to moment.co/wehatemovies. Pre-sale is going on for the next couple days, so get them ticks now at a discounted price. We're so stoked to be able to do another internet show. It's going to be a lot of fun. People at Moment House are always fucking great. So it's going to be fun. Big week. Big week here as always. But I think we're going to bring it to a close. We hope our good friend Chris Cabin is in good spirits, and we'll see him on the program here next week, I can only assume. So until then, folks, have a great week. Enjoy all the movies. Enjoy all the content we're putting out. And until next time, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Yes, I've been Steven Sadek, and I was right too.
Eric Siska.
Take a good week, everybody. Happy birthday, Chelsea. Bye-bye, folks.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here, right
now. It never happens at a good time. The pipe bursts at midnight. The heater quits on the coldest night. Suddenly, you're overwhelmed. That's when home service here. For $4.99 a month, you're never alone. Just call their 24/7 hotline and a local pro is on the way. Trusted by millions, HomeServe delivers peace of mind when you need it most. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to HomeServe.com. That's HomeServe.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.